87. And for that reason, we are going to feature our guest, Shaka Barak. Shaka is the president and co-founder of Marcus Garvey Institute in Chicago, and has an annual Universal Marcus Garvey Birthday Celebration and Tribute telephone conference call held on the morning of August 17th each year with Garveyites from around the world. He was born in Centerville, Tennessee. Shaka teaches at the first International Convention of African People of the World, and documents that came out of it is called the Declaration of Rights of the Negro People of the World. By profession, he is a school teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. Barak teaches about the significance of the red, black, and green flag, UNIA, ACL auxiliaries, entrepreneurship, which includes the Black Star Line Steamship Corporation and the Negro World newspaper. He has hundreds of documents and copies of photos that mark the Honorable Marcus Garvey and the UNIA and ACL achievements in history, which he starts shares his works with many organizations. Welcome, Shaka. Would you like to introduce your guest?
Yeah, first of all, giving all praise to the universe, certainly want to thank you for having us on. I have on with us Marima Kuma. And he is out of Washington, D.C., a Garveyite. I also have another Garveyite, Kumar Mishala Singh Barak, and she is also another Garveyite. And we are happy to be here to talk about the life and the works of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey.
Oh, that's wonderful. We welcome, family. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the invite.
Shaka, you're an African-American. Have you ever been to Jamaica or have had any Jamaican familial connection?
No, I haven't been to Jamaica. My relationship with Jamaica began about 15, 16 years ago when there was a hurricane that flattened Jamaica. And so I did all that I could to help in terms of supplying medicine, food, clothing, Jamaica that was really hurting. So out of that, I developed a relationship with the Jamaican American Association, the Jamaican Consulate here in Chicago, who is now Brother Lloyd Hyde, the Consul General of Jamaica, and many, many members of the Jamaican community. Now, Kumar, on the other hand, could say something different about that.
Yes, I've had an opportunity to visit Jamaica on several occasions. I think the last time I was in Jamaica, and as I was thinking about it, I couldn't believe it had been that long ago, but the last time I was in Jamaica was in 1985. I had an opportunity to visit Mr. Garvey's grave, was able to lay a wreath. Met
at the Heroes National Park?
Yes, yes.
And for those of you who
had a chance to visit the other heroes' graves.
And for those of you who don't know what Heroes National Park is, that's where we have all our national heroes, Marcus Garvey, Buster Manti, all the other heroes that Jamaica recognizes as their national heroes. That's where she's referring to.
Right, is the first national hero. Again, I had a chance to meet with the Maroon community, the Islamic community, the African Orthodox community in Kingston. I have no blood ties, no relatives in Jamaica or from Jamaica, but we were honored to meet a lot of Mr. Garvey's relatives, last name being Brown. And I did spend an awful lot of time with them. He has a cousin here that we do speak with from time to time, Queen Olive, and every day we're learning more and more. I've never gone to Jamaica and not had a wonderful time and felt a part of the culture and got a chance to be even closer to Mr. Garvey.
I see. On Monday, August 17th, it will be the 122nd birthday of the Honorable Marcus Garvey.
Correct.
Please share with your audience who this great man was and why has his life been so impactful to you.
Well, the Honorable Marcus Garvey was the founder and first president general of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, which became the first and largest mass movement in America of African Americans, one of the largest mass movements in the Caribbean, and one of the largest mass movements on the continent of Africa, and one of the largest mass movements of our people in Europe and in Asia. And so he certainly earned the right to be the first national hero of Jamaica, but could have been the first national hero of many nations in the Caribbean. He had a complete and holistic plan for the improvement of his race. He looked around the world and he saw that the black man and the black woman were on the bottom of every different civilization, every different country, and he asked, where was the black man's government? Where was his king? Where was his men and women of big affairs? Where was his army? Where was his navy? He said, I could not find them, and therefore he declared, I will help to make them. And so he, after setting up the UNIA in 1914 in Jamaica, he received around 1916 an outstanding invitation from Booker T. Washington around 1915 to come to the United States so he could help him build a similar program to the one he had at Tuskegee Institute, but Booker T. passed. So he went on a tour of the United States, visiting 38 states, studying the conditions of his people to see if they had a comprehensive program that spoke to the needs of his people, and he did not find it. And so what he did was he went to New York City, and from there he began to raise the cry, up your mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. And then he began to build factories. He began to build restaurants and grocery stores. He began to build tailoring shops, a Negro World newspaper that had a French section, a Spanish section. So if you were colonized by the French, you could read it. If you were colonized where they spoke Spanish, you could read it. If you couldn't read it, somebody would read it to you. He developed auxiliaries like the African Legions for the men and the Black Cross nurses and African Motor Corps for the women. There was a juvenile department. So our children didn't have saggy pants. They were in little uniforms, cadet uniforms, and our sisters looked marvelous as well, and a black baby doll manufacturing company on a mass scale, and everything was done on a mass scale. He built Liberty Halls all around the world, 1,400 divisions, and oftentimes some of these divisions were in the number of 25,000 people, and so he took the wishbone that was in the back and put a backbone there and made the black man stand up and proud of himself, proud of his ancestry, proud of his race, proud of his color. He made us proud in such a way that we began to be seen differently and began to act differently toward us. And then the last thing and the most important thing that he taught us was that if government was good enough for the Japanese, if government was good enough for the Chinese, if government was good enough for French, then government ought to be good enough for Africans. So his cry was Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad, which meant that we should have a nation of our own. And the Honorable Marcus Garvey elevated the race to a position of respectability that they had not had before, because when black men and women started demanding that they should have the rights to have a nation, divine rights, moral rights, legal rights, to have a nation on the continent of Africa, which had been robbed and exploited by other people began to wonder whether the black man was the same one who they had oppressed, that they felt was inferior. Now they begin to see that, no, he wasn't inferior, he just needed to have a vision of something that would inspire him and motivate him, and Marcus Garvey gave us that vision of Africa for the Africans.
That's very, very true. So with all that he has done or given the blueprint to, how should people now in the diaspora honor the memory of this giant?
Marma?
Would anyone else like, to honor him? How do you think we should honor him? Like, for example, in many cases, we build monuments or we have a stamp. What are some ways do you feel, as a Garveyite, as well as the other Garveyites on the phone, what are some ways do you think that we should honor Mark Scarvey.
Well, I'll answer that while we're thinking about it. The Honorable Marcus Garvey is one of the worst known great heroes in our race. We know about Dr. King. We know about Frederick Douglass, and we know about Harriet Tubman. We're taught about them all the time. But here was a man who we don't know as much about. It is no accident. It's deliberate. 15 years after he died, June the 10th, 1940, there was nothing written about him until this biography came out called Black Moses, but much of that information was misinformation. So there was a deliberate attempt, we think, to remove him from history. And so one of the things that we can do is to honor him by remembering him, by studying him, by doing research on him, so that he will live in spite of the attempts to try to remove him and reduce his significance in our history. Because when you look at Marcus Garvey carefully, what you'll find is that while he stood upon the shoulders of great men and women who came before him, some of those are the national heroes of Jamaica, and some of those are heroes in Africa, and some of those are heroes in America, most of the movements that came after Marcus Garvey are movements that were led by men and women who stood upon Marcus Garvey's shoulders. So when the truth is told about Marcus Garvey, what we'll find is very few movements have taken place anywhere in the world where African people are that he didn't have a direct or indirect effect. So the best way that we can honor him is to make sure he is never forgotten through eternity.
And I wanted to add, I had the phone on mute. That's why y'all probably couldn't hear me a couple of times. This is Brother Maury Ama. I just wanted to add that, you know, the best way to honor a worker is to complete the work. And the work and the vision and the aims and objects that the Honorable Marcus Garvey shared, his brother Ashaka eloquently shared with us, is, you know, to accomplish, you know, some of the goals he set forth, you know, which is, you know, dealing once again with the independence of Africa. Because Africa is still not independent. It's still dependent upon alien people to the continent, as well as, you know, some of the, you know, Garvey was setting up an African Communities League, when part of that league was somewhat of a federation of independent black communities all around the globe. He recognized that, you know, black people, whether we call ourselves African-American, Afro-Caribbean, Afro-this, Afro-that, that we are all one people, part of a scattered family, and that we can develop nation-state formations or empires or maroon villages or societies where we control our own destiny and our own interests and are not subservient to any other group. And once we become more independent in our thinking and behaving, then we can command the respect of the world. And, you know, the highest ideal of a race, as Brother Shaka was pointing out earlier, is nationalism, is, you know, pride in your community. Before you help the neighbor down the street, help your own family first. And when it comes to our condition, you know, ours was one when he came on the scene that was deplorable. And today is not that much better, despite some of the great leadership we've had and some of the great vision. So, I mean, if we're going to honor a man who accomplished more than any other leader of our race in recent history, you know, we should definitely honor him by continuing the work, by continuing to build and become independent and to unify and to live out the true meaning of the creed of the UNIA and the motto of the association, one God, one aim, one destiny. Let no religious scruples or political machinations divide us. We are one people with one goal, one common destiny, with one, mission that we all, you know, should be working collectively toward realizing, and that's, again, you know, our independence. So, I mean,
the collective responsibility you see in Kwanzaa that they talk about.
Yeah, very similar. And I was going to mention also that Garvey's legacy is also connected, I think Brother Shaka mentioned it also, to Jamaica's independence. But I don't want to go ahead of the questioning, but Jamaica's independence, you know, from the days of S.E.G. Cox and the National Club, and Garvey's working, you know, printing some of the publications and fighting for Jamaican independence until the days of the PPP that he helped set up, which gave birth to other political parties within Jamaica that eventually fought and won independence for the country, and even the Africa for the African Call, which goes into the Rastafari movement, which, you know, was educating people that our motherland is Africa and not England and not Europe. You know, we came from Africa. That's where we should pay our allegiance. You know, Ethiopia should stretch forth their hands. So these type of philosophies and political statements and campaign that Garvey waged helped lead to people thinking a little more independently, and not being satisfied with the colonial powers dictating their destiny. So, I mean, directly and indirectly, you can definitely say Garvey shared an important role in developing the mentality that prepared Jamaica for its independence.
And this is Sister Kamar. I'd like to add, too, that although this is the tomorrow will be the 122nd birthday for the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, we need to really understand that it's time to tell the whole story. And he has had such an impact on the world that I would quote, we had an African-American mayor here in Chicago a while ago before he passed. His name was Harold Washington. And when Shaka interviewed him, he said, which I think sums it up, he says, a leader who doesn't know about Marcus Garvey is not fit to be a leader. Mr. Garvey was 56 years old when he passed, and all of these thousands of things that he did them in a short period of time. And we were blessed that there's so much information left on him. So I think in answering the question for me, I think it's time that the whole truth comes out about Marcus Garvey and not just continue with the fragment statements about him.
Quite true. Shaka, you're part of the Marcus Garvey Institute. Please share with us the vision and the mission of this institution.
Well, the purpose of the Marcus Garvey Institute, and we all are a part of it, is to educate the masses of our people about the life and the works of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, to actually, as Kamar has said, to do research on the 52-year span of his life so that we can dissect it, so that we can look at it closely and intimately, because you don't build a mass movement by accident. We must get into the details as it relates to how this took place, because the Honorable Marcus Garvey told us that what man has done, man can do. So we're looking forward to the day in which we will, as Marima has said, fulfill the goals and the mission of the Honorable Marcus Garvey. He didn't believe that he would complete all that the UNIA and ACL had set up as its goals and its aims and its objects in his lifetime. But he said that you shall hear from my principles 2,000 years hence. And so the Marcus Garvey Institute is involved with maintaining its existence so that it can continue to educate generations upon generations long after we're gone about the life and the works of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and so instill in both our young boys and girls the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Garvey so thoroughly until it could never be removed. And so as we wait and we believe in time for the resurrection of our race and the redemption of our race and our motherland, Africa, we continue to teach because we see that Garveyism is a vehicle to get this done. So that's part of the mission of this institute, to continue to teach, because we see his life and his works as the model and the example of what else needs to be done. It's time, as he said, to put down the hero worship of other races and to start out immediately to create and emulate heroes of his own. So we want our people to emulate the Honorable Marcus Garvey, so we must teach them who he was and what he did.
I see. Community and economic development were key ingredients to his philosophy. How does the Institute put this plan into motion to meet its goal?
Well, one of the things that must happen, we don't have communities. We have neighborhoods where we are disconnected and disjointed. And so in order to build communities, we have to have unity. And in order to build an economic program. We have to have unity. And the game of divide and conquer has been played on our people so much until we are divided between the Jamaican community and the African-American community and the African community and the African...
Afro-Latinos, that's a big...
Yes,
that's a major
African,
division.
African,
a lot of people
Hispanic,
don't really... Yeah,
African.
They don't... That's I'm glad that you mentioned that because Afro-Latinos are so disconnected to Africa. I think of all the African diaspora groups, Afro-Latinos completely disconnect with
I'll tell you one more disconnected than that. The African-Asian. So in other words, because of this division that exists among us, it keeps us weak. And so Garveyism is the glue that will cement us together because when we get through sitting at the table discussing the life and the works of the alma Marcus Garvey and seeing how he sought to bring all of us together. Back then he was talking about 400 million members of our race. Today we must talk about 1 billion members of our race, but we must talk about it in the same light that he talked about it. And as we began to talk about the things that we have in common, for example, you know, despite the religious differences and the political machinations and so forth, we are one race of people, all descendants of that mighty race that inhabited ancient Africa. And so the other thing that we have in common, that we're promoting, that we have in common, is that we have a great leader that we all share, no matter what part of the world, because he thought about us all, and that was the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. So before we had the economic program, we must have a racial education, because if you send somebody to a school and they learn economics, but they don't learn how to be loyal to their race, then they'll end up taking the knowledge that they have, serving somebody else, going into somebody else's corporation to work for them, abandoning their community. So it's not just enough to teach somebody economics and law and teach them other skills without giving them a racial education. So we'll do that part, and then they can learn the other things as a secondary form of education.
One of Garvey's famous quotes was, if you have no confidence in self, you are twice defeated in the race of life. With confidence, you have won even before you started. With that in mind, I would like to ask the panel to give me to share your perspective on this, on the following statements. The first one. As technology, especially through communication, make our world more networked, how does one retain the unique strengths?
Marma?
Yes. Make sure I'm not on mute. Yes. The African fundamentalism, which was one of Garvey's core writings that shaped the philosophy, which actually was a practice and plan as well as a philosophy. But African fundamentalism talks about science par excellence and how we need to utilize all fields of technology, science, communication, et cetera, and contemporize our study of it and become masters of all these different fields in order to improve our independence and improve our conditions, you know, to improve our networking, et cetera. I was thinking as you were speaking, you know, Brother Shaka always considers and kind of drove into my head that Garveyism is the gospel of success, that to study Garvey's success during a time when we did a lot more with less is to study that he didn't have any emails, he didn't have any telephone. A lot of people didn't have telephones at the time. A lot of people didn't. There was no television. There was not a lot of what we are comfortable with as modern technology today that we have at our disposal. Yet he was able to accomplish far more than any of us since have been able to accomplish. He was able to successfully build up an economic industry,
economic
have a shipping line.
Except, but one thing, I was just saying, it's funny that you should mention that. I was thinking about that conference that he had where he brought like almost a million people, and that was in the 20s. When, if you really sit down and think about it, that's pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 12 million people worldwide at the UNIA's peak. You know, we don't have any organizations today with that kind of structure. no black,
and
you know,
with no technology.
Funded, operated shipping line. Exactly. I mean, and this type of communication, you know, what you would take to orchestrate a convention with 25,000 delegates alone. And, you know, and Brother Shaka always talks about the hats that Mr. Garvey wore, you know, not only chairing the convention and, you know, sending out all the invitations, et cetera, but at the same time, we're talking about communication. He had a newspaper that was one of the most popular newspapers at its time. I think it was the largest, most widely circulated black newspaper at the time. But it was translated into four different languages and sent all around the world, even when the paper had to get smuggled in on the backs of sailors so that it could get to the people and children would hear the stories read in the town square and then go off into the villages and share the words from the Negro World newspaper. But Mr. Garvey had an ability to inspire people to greatness, to inspire people to succeed and to accomplish whatever they willed. And that legacy definitely sets an example for us in this age of modern technology. You know, are we really doing as much as he was doing to accomplish some of the same objectives and goals? You know, if he had this technology today, what would he have done with it? You know,
In terms of maximizing it, because there is a significant digital divide between, say, the inner city community to other communities, and he was able to do that with minimal. So you're right. If you think about the leadership skills he had, he was able to utilize what he had. If he were alive today, what would be his thoughts of President Obama, do you think?
Well, I think that he would be proud of a black man showing that, given an opportunity, he can match his brains with those of the best inside of the Western world. I think at the same time, he would say that our individual achievements are not enough when the masses of our people are oppressed and exploited and downtrodden. One-third of our people are in abject poverty. So it's not enough to produce a billionaire. It's not enough to produce a president, a head of a major corporation. It's not enough. He would also think that if President Barack Obama was true to his African heritage, then he'd find a way to do more to help his race. And he'd also find a way to reach President Barack Obama to say to him that we are here and we are ready if you just give us the word to let us know that you want Garveyism on your side. If you want Garveyites by your side, we're willing to come and help you because we know that white people are going after him to get all that they possibly can for their community, for their race. And so we
and not just whites, but other ethnic groups are doing interest too. But I was wondering, what are the resources of the Honorable Marcus Garvey and the Institute you would like to share?
Well, one of the things that we have are some of the same things that Marma has and Kumar has, and that is after 15 years of studying the life and the works of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, you accumulate a lot, and you're willing to share that information. Marma, you want to talk about some of the resources that you have?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a bit of a historian on the Garvey movement. The Garvey movement actually was a lot broader than most people understand. And so, I mean, some of the materials I've had to research and document and congregate because while there are hundreds, literally, of books on the life and legacy of Mr. Garvey, some of them are certainly inaccurate. In fact, you probably find a third of them referred to the Universal Negro Improvement Association as the United Negro Improvement Association. Some of the legacy has been besmirched and you know, Garvey's legacy has been discredited by certain scholars who were, who weren't too well, supportive of his ideas and his philosophy. And so, you know, there's a big job just educating people about the true history of the association, about the great accomplishments and, you know, some of the negative rumors and innuendos and connotations yeah. has been, you know, it's connected to the movement. We've been doing a job through the Garvey Day tributes, through other, you know. Mm-hmm.
So basically, you are, we are very grateful that we now have organizations that's making a conscious effort to let the public know the true Garvey and what he stood for, and not the fabricated images. And so on that note.
We have documents.
Yes.
We have photos. We have so that
and audio too.
And authentic information
yes.
about the life and video. Authentic information about the life and works of Marcus Garvey.
Yes, we are constantly trying to introduce and to reintroduce Mr. Garvey to the world and constantly trying to find new ways to reach old goals. We're not trying to change the accomplishments or the things that need to be done, but we have to look at, with this modern technology, other ways
how to utilize it and maximize it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this was definitely an informative session, and we absolutely appreciate it. So in the parting words, Chris, do you have anything to add to this discussion?
This is just amazing that you folks have done this work. I just want to commend you for all the efforts over the year to keep his legacy alive. And I was wondering, is there a website you talked about? Is there a website you'd like to recommend that we actually we can point people to that they can get hold of some of these the wealth of resources that you do have?
Well, let me begin by giving some telephone numbers and email addresses.
Okay.
And I think Marma has a website you can give as well. So if you want more information, you can call the Marcus Garvey Institute at 708-802-1445. 708-802-1445. You can also email me at shakabarak1, and I'll spell it, shakabarak1@yahoo.com. Marma?
Yes. And I'm the Deputy Chancellor of the Amy Jakes Garvey Institute, named after the First Lady of the UNIA. But you can contact Moriyama Kamau, and I'll spell my name for the email later. It's 202-256-6380. My email address is mwariama1@aol.com. Definitely have a wealth of resources, and I'd like to also make notice that the commissioner in Jamaica of the UNIA is Brother Stephen Golding, the Prime Minister's son, actually, of Jamaica, and he's been operating for over 10 years now the NegroWorld.com website, and the NegroWorld.com is also a site where you can find a lot of historical documentation and information about, you know, the good words, works, and deeds of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, as well as LadyDavis.org, which is another site we're setting up that talks about one of the close aides and accomplices of the Honorable Marcus Garvey and a lot of the good works that he did, a lady by the name of Henrietta Vinton Davis, whose birthday is also fast approaching in August. So
August is very special.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And ma'am, would you like to say anything?
Well, first of all, Sister Denise and Brother Curtis, I certainly want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to get the word out about the greatest leader that's ever lived. That's the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. And we look forward to dialoguing with you and your audience again here in Chicago. We will have a tribute at the Gopi Family Life Center tomorrow, August 17th, from 5 p.m. until 9 a.m. That's at 24 West 69th Street. And again, you can reach the Marcus Garvey Institute at 708-802-1445. Please give us a call.
Thank you so much.
Okay, but for one more thing, if you'd like to learn more about Chris's blog, you can visit Jamaicans.com, and his blog is called Me Thinking Are You, and his website is yourgenius.com. If you'd like to hear one of Marcus Garvey's speech, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com and click Ning. And on the Ning site, there are a bunch of, you can just click audio, and then you could hear one of Marcus Garvey's speech. It has been a pleasure, and please contact us if you have any questions. Thank you all for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.